Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Tony Bender. He's an author and a columnist, plus he's the owner and publisher of the Wishick Star and the Ashley Tribune.
Well, I think your listeners are going to want to know what happened with the protest. So I'm going to tell you this. This march began of about 300 people going up 2 miles. I think the march, most people thought they were going up to where the pipeline crosses the road, 1806 in North Dakota, the one that's been blockaded. But the day before, on Friday, the tribe had filed papers in federal court showing that this site just to the west of the road had cultural significance. It was a burial spot, 27 graves, and some things that were so rare that they were not recorded in North Dakota archaeological history. This is my understanding of it. So this was filed on a Friday. By Saturday, they had moved the bulldozers. I've heard several different distances, 12, 15, 20 miles. But the fact is, they moved from a site that they were working to this site, and they leveled it. They leveled what would be equivalent of bulldozers coming into your community and driving through the cemetery and leveling it. That is essentially, as I see it, what happened. So the protesters knocked down the fence, and they chased the bulldozers and the workmen back. There was one little scuffle between a workman and a protester. My son was at the lead. This is what he told me and what I saw in his video. There was some mace applied to the protesters, but they kept pushing the bulldozers off the land. They really destroyed so much of this land. They pushed them back. And then there were security guards. It was almost, this really seems like it was a setup. I think, you know, there was a helicopter overhead filming this from the pipeline. There was another small plane. I don't know whose plane that was. But I really think this was provoked. I think they were trying to create bad actions by the protesters. The protesters, once they faced off with the 14 security guards and 6 attack dogs, they were maced, and I cannot see in any film where violence was precipitated by the protesters. Like with any group, there are some that are not necessarily going to walk in step, but they turned the dogs loose. They pushed the crowd back with the dogs, but the people really wouldn't give. And there were people that fought back. They hit the dogs with sticks. One of the dogs did get loose. I believe bit a girl. There were 6 bites, I think. This dog went after a horse. The horse kicked him. The dog was hurt. And eventually, the protesters drove them back. Finally, the security retreated. I saw one picture of a security guy being pushed up against a pickup, and I saw one of the protesters spreading his arms wide. This is a guy who had been maced earlier, spreading his arms wide to protect him. So I think, you know, had they really wanted to do harm, those many protesters could have done it. But anyway, they drove the security people back, which, you know, it just looked like Bull Connor and what black people went through in the 60s. It looked like that on film. They pushed them back, and then there was a celebration, and it was pretty joyful. And I looked at the tape, and I was there after this was over. I got there after it was over. And this was not the sound of a conquered people. This is not the sound, and this was not the look of a people that is just going to quit. They're not going to quit when winter comes. They're not just going to roll over. And I think that the only thing that can happen here is people have to talk. Because if they try to bully them, it's not going to work. They will not be intimidated. They are formidable. And as I said, this is not a conquered people. I think what they did, most of them, was incredibly courageous and noble. I think that they're fighting for something that they truly believe in. They're fighting for all of us, you know, to have a safe earth. They're fighting for generations. They're praying for seven generations down there. And I think that's a story that really isn't being told.
The narrative, I think, kind of fueled this a little bit. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. But I did see some of those stories with pipe bombs and all these other things. And it gave the impression that this was like, I don't know, what you saw in the news with the Vietnam protests back in the 60s type is at least what the picture I had in my head. Why do you think that media bias was there? Is it sensationalism? Is there that much of an advertising towards the energy industry that created that bias? Which we, you know, I mean, you've been in the business long enough to know how much of an advertiser can have influence on the final product. I guess what's your opinion on that media bias?
Well. Look, I think, yeah, certainly there's some people who know which side of the bread the butter is on. They know where their money's coming from, where the advertising dollars are coming from, and, you know, where other money is coming from. But I still like to believe that there's integrity there. And so I'm not going to just say that everybody's bought off in that regard. I don't really think that. But there's a lack of understanding. You know, we come from, in this white society, we're a very materialistic, generally fairly shallow society here in America because we don't have deep roots. We're kind of a mixed bag of people. And we totally do not understand as a people the reverence and the spirituality and the importance of the land to the Lakota and every tribe. And so it's easy to look on the outside and say, gee, they're just, you know, they're being manipulated by the ecologists, by, you know, the Earth First crowd and whatever. Look, I'm telling you, these people know what they're doing. They are organized, they are smart, and they are motivated. So this whole drunken Indian, shiftless, that really is, it's a stereotype that I don't think really holds true for the majority of Native Americans. And so we have this real disconnect. Now, the Native Americans certainly understand white society, but we don't understand them. And so we have a situation where, you know, it's Native tradition. When the law officers had a line and these horses came by, you know, they were, it's a Native tradition. They were counting coup. But, you know, you see it on video and you don't understand it, you're going, wow, you know, they were attacking those officers. But I talked to one of the riders and he said, you know, afterwards they shook our hands.
To listen to the full-length interview with Tony Bender, author, publisher, columnist, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of Kids in Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted Best Real Estate Agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI. EnergyServices.com.